Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Saturday AM Live. Vance Rogers, your host here today. We're going to talk about goal setting, not resolutioning. And that's become, you know, I don't know what, I should have done a little quick study, looked it up on Google to find out how far back goal setting or resolutioning and all that good stuff, how far that goes back, especially with this, you know, and we just discussed it, but especially when it comes to making resolutions, and then a few weeks later, or even days, I think the average in the United States is a week and a half, 2 weeks. And I'm talking about the most popular resolution, which there are several of you on the line right now, and some of you are demuted. So let me just ask you, anybody can speak up if you've demuted yourself. What's the number one resolution that people make every single year?
To go to the gym.
Shed weight. Lose weight. Lose 10 pounds. Fill in the blank. It's all about adorning the temple, taking care of this physical body, which I don't think is an accident that when you look at the five pillars of health, and if you're able to grab a piece of paper as you're listening to this and scribble down the five pillars of health, it's not an accident that they always seem to start. The exact order differs from, you know, presentation to presentation. But when I look at the Human Being More guide that I've got right here in front of me, this is the last time I went through Human Being More, healthy body is always the first pillar. So dating back to Nikan's start, the beginning in 1975, when it was formally incorporated as a company, the introduction of the mag steps, those insoles, was to change the healthy body, change that pillar. So what is it that we can do? And again, this is an open line format. I want to keep it as open as possible. So if you have demuted your line and there's background noise, please mute it again so it cuts that out. Because I know there's no background noise where I'm at. So I know I'm not the one contributing to it. And I picked the quietest room in our house that I could find. But because there's banging going on, there's whatever you're doing multitasking-wise, we can hear you. So I'll wait. I'm going to be a good teacher here and just be patient. If there's noise going on, just... There we go. I think that's better now. Because we can hear it. We can hear everything. So, how, Rita, help me out. How, or Julie, or anybody else?
KBB. And tons of water.
Tons of water. Yeah, you know, if we just broke down each one of these pillars, those of you who are going to join me in Layton here in a couple weeks, I have the privilege of talking about the five pillars of health. And I'm going to do a little bit of a twist on it, and I'm calling it Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Five Pillars Cell. I thought that would get a laugh, right, Rita, being that my last name is Mr., you know, or my last name is Rogers. But I'm going to put whoever speaks up, and Rita has been so gracious to demute her line and doesn't have a lot of background noise. The TV's not on. She's not yelling at a significant other because there's not a significant other. To give them directions on what to do this morning, and I appreciate that. But when we look at the five pillars, healthy body, mind, family, society, and finances, it's not about having time. It's about making time. What if we could, every single day, take a few minutes, Ruth Lowe, I know that she credits the bulk of her success is that the night before, the last thing she does at night is literally thinks about, meditates on, and scribbles down on paper or whatever, or she puts it in her phone, what she's going to do the next day. So she's literally charted out her course. Now, we all know that the best way to make God laugh is to tell him our plans for tomorrow. We know that. But at the same time, if we don't make plans, or as I think it was Walt Disney who said, failing to plan is planning to fail. Or somebody, it wasn't me who came up with that. So whether it was Walt Disney or somebody else, I'm not sure. I should have Googled that one as well. But each one of these pillars, when we break them down, if we'll take a few minutes and say, what is it that we want to accomplish? And here's the key that most resolutionists miss, is we asphyxiate, and I'm putting myself in this category, on one category, let's say healthy body. And the other four pillars kind of go by the wayside, or they don't get the attention they need. What if, here's the question I want to ask, what would our lives be like if we could attack all five of them at the same time with a concentrated effort and say, okay, what am I going to do today in the healthy mind category? Will I have the opportunity to plug into a conference call while I'm doing something else, or can I set aside on a Thursday, let's say, for example, to tune in to Brody Craney's conference call, or on a Monday morning at 7 a.m. on the West Coast, could I spend 25, 30 minutes to tap into what Dr. John Jackson does when he hosts an Ekin prayer call, or Dave Johnson? I mean, the list goes on and on, because when we do that, we're going to sharpen our mind. Here's another question. When it comes to healthy family, what are we doing? And I'm serious about this. Every single day, maybe you don't have immediate children or grandchildren in your area, but you're a significant other. Maybe you're single. You're flying solo. But what about your family that's long distance? Everybody's related to somebody. Unless you don't have a belly button, then you're not related to anybody. And I haven't met anybody that doesn't have a belly button yet. So we can all improve. Society, what are we doing every single day? Little bits here and there. It doesn't have to be volunteering at a soup kitchen. That seems to be a popular thing around the holidays. You know, come middle of November, people start feeling good and convicted, and they, you know, say, oh yeah, last year I made that resolution to do that. What if we did it every day? A little bit. You know, stopping while out and about, whatever, or making a phone call. And then finally, again, I'm looking at the pillars on the Human Being More training journal, the finances, the last one. What are we doing to improve our finances? So, enough advance. I'm curious. In those five areas, this is what our new, and I love Jeff Eisen's new title, the Chancellor of Meekin University. This is what he encouraged us to do. I believe the call was on Wednesday this week, to really set some goals. How could we improve them? How could we tweak them? And if you've never been to Human Being More, it's really simple to do this exercise. You can do it. Just write out the five pillars of health: healthy body, healthy mind, healthy family, healthy society, and finances. And it doesn't matter the order. You can look these up on the Meekin website if I went too fast. But rate yourself. One being really, really bad, 10 being really good or almost perfection, and rate it, or put them in percentages, you know, 0% all the way up to 100%. And then kind of see which ones, and be honest, that's the key. Honesty is the best way to go. If your body is in a great, and I've met people in Meekin that are like this, and I've met people outside of Meekin, that they really got it dialed in, so their body is in a really good shape. So they could probably say 95 percentile, or even 100. I mean, I don't know. Well, you know, this side of heaven, we're never going to, you know, achieve perfection in our physical body. But when we take the time to rank them, and again, I'm looking at a chart that I did. I dated it someplace on here. I know I found it. Where did I write that date? November 10th, 2017. And I wrote some specific things down. How do we get these? You know, being very, very specific. But I think the biggest thing is being honest. And then coming up with some things in each one of those five categories, each one of those five pillars, to improve that. And it's interesting as I look back, because this is over a year ago, and not much has changed. I definitely have improved in some of the areas, but I think the biggest thing is I figured out how to, and I know this can be detrimental to some of us, because there's no such thing as truly multitasking, because we're not 100% focused on that one thing. But figuring out how to work them in together. Let me give you a quick example, and then I want to hear from you. Yesterday, I'm just going to pick yesterday. One of my goals back over a year ago on this that I knew needed to be improved was in the healthy family category. And I wrote as my goal, and this is kind of generic, but I wrote daily connection with Emily. Emily's our middle daughter, and at the time, I knew that needed to be improved. And if you've ever been a parent or a grandparent of a teenager, you know how difficult it is in the 21st century to connect with a teenager. And so it does take work. And yesterday, actually, I back it up a little before. Earlier in the week, I asked her, I said, are you working on Friday? She only works in the mornings at the little Russian coffee shop. And she said, no, I'm not working. And I said, so you definitely don't have anything Friday afternoon? She said, no, I'll just be doing homework. She's in college. Well, Mount Hood Community College is where she attends. She's doing her senior year of high school and her second year of college at the same time. So that's kind of a fun thing. So she's got a pretty good load on her. And she's holding down two different part-time jobs. And then church and all the other things. So I set it up. I said, why don't we plan on going to Costco, which for Emily and I is quite an adventure because we always run into people. We ran into five different people we knew yesterday. But it was such a great time, not only shopping, but sampling. And I know this is terrible to admit, but making fun of people. And we do it in a good way, okay? Not in a bad way. But we just notice things. And we look at their carts and go, wow, huh. They really need some Nikkening, don't they? And she usually says, yeah, they need it. Wow. Because of choices that they make. They just don't know. So I know that's terrible to even admit. But that is fulfilling part of that goal that I made over a year ago to make daily connections. Sometimes it's as simple as just a text to her saying, hey, good morning, I hope you have a great day. Or as she's bolting out the door to go to class for the day, hey, have a great day, kiddo. Have fun. And she gives me that look of, you know, how could this be fun? You know what my schedules are like, you know, on and on and on. So Vance is done now. What are some of the ways that you've discovered for yourself? Goal control is what Ruth Williams describes it, how she calls it. Putting down and making a concentrated effort. Because I know that as we do this, in this year, it's not a resolution. It's not something we're giving up, because usually there's a negative. This is something that we're making a decisive decision. And I love the teaching that Ben Woodward did on that word decision. It's a military word. It's you're going into combat. You're saying, no, this is what I'm going to do. And there will be obstacles dressed up in overalls, because it's going to take work. But what are some of the things that you're already doing, or maybe you started them years ago, to improve something in the five pillars? And this is that point where if you have demuted your line, we can hear you. We heard the bell chime. Maybe you're in church already. Maybe that was one of your goals, to be more in church. I don't know. But star six on your phone line, if you've done this, or you've got a suggestion of something that works for you. We're not going to focus on the negative. We don't do negative. We learned that with the I Can Attitude program a long time ago. We don't do negative. We're all in this together for good. What are some of the things you've done that have worked?
Good morning, Vance. This is Jeannie in Phoenix.
Good morning, Jeannie. I know you're driving, so your goal is not
can
to...
You?
Yeah, yes. I can hear you loud and clear. I know
okay.
Your goal is not to work in a soup kitchen this morning because we hear somebody that's their goal because we can hear the pots and pans clanging.
Hey, I like soup, that's for sure. But one thing in the healthy mind category this year, I've decided I want to read one book a month and listen to one book a month. Since I have Audible on my phone and I drive 45 minutes one way and then 45 minutes the other way 3 days a week right now. So that's one thing in my healthy mind category. And to apply it, apply something, and I learned this from you, what is one thing that I learned that I will do today regarding whatever it is I'm learning?
You know, Jeannie, that's the that's what the term, the word Kaizen means, loosely defined. What is that one thing that I can do today to improve so that
yeah.
I can be a better contribution to others? You know, it's that the movie City Slickers, which if you haven't seen it, classic movie, Billy Crystal, Jack Palance, that one thing. He's always holding up his finger. What's that one thing?
I remember that
and,
now. That's right.
Yeah.
So watch
I watched too many movies, and I was with a young lady yesterday, and I'm referencing movies, and she's looking at me like I'm speaking a foreign language. No clue. Jeannie, what would you typically do with that 45-minute commute each way instead of listening to an audiobook?
Sometimes I call my family members or if I have to make a call. But I'll either listen to music. Sometimes I go through my I Can mantra from memory and exercise that. I try to do things with my mind so that I'm not just being mindless. But typically I either listen to something or call somebody.
Okay. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with music. I adapted that a couple months ago while I'm reading in the morning. I discovered Spotify about 5-6 months ago, and there's playlists that you can select. And this is all free, and you can download it, and it doesn't cost you anything. You can pay for it. But, Jeannie, you really hit on something that instead of being mindless, we can actually be mindful. Because there's nothing wrong with listening to the radio, even. But typically, it's mindless. It's not. It's kind of like comfort food. You know, it's comforting. But if we eat too much, if we eat at Cracker Barrel too often, then
right,
there's downsides. Well, like yesterday, I got a text from a friend, and he's someplace where there's an In-N-Out Burger. And he sent me a shot of his and his wife's meal. It, knowing that I'm in Oregon and we don't have one within 5 hours driving range, okay? and I don't eat at In-N-Out Burger. I don't like burgers. But when I'm in an area, I will enjoy that. Just on it, you know, you got to do everything in moderation. But it's being mindful, being mindless. Jeannie, that's really, really good. And I want to ask one last question on that subject of the healthy mind category. Why? What is it that you hope to gain by reading or listening to, reading and listening to one book a month?
Well, I really like reading, but I tend to not finish the books. So I read four or five at a time, and I think there's nothing wrong with that either. But I would really like to finish a book. Actually, I did finish a book with a mastermind group this year, the Think and Grow Rich for Women, which was fantastic. And did just actually finish that last week. So I did finish a book. But I really like to ponder on things, and the action part for me this year is what I want to, what I'm applying. What is the one thing? Because, and a lot of the books I read are saying the same thing, but just in a different way or a different author. I don't really read fiction a lot or any of that. Maybe I should. I don't know, but it just keeps my mind in a good place, too. Maybe that's a good way to say it.
No, it's excellent, because that's the key. And I think the biggest thing is what I heard you say is the one that you actually finished was part of a study group or a mastermind group. And maybe we need a study buddy. And what I mean by that, when you look at colleges, when you're in your college age, and again, we have two right now that are in college, or one in community college, one in university, and usually they work better in groups. Kenna said that, you know, she's not looking forward to Monday this next week because she starts her next semester, and one of the classes she takes is the hardest class. Nobody at American University, like, ever gets an A in this class. And so Stacy was encouraging her and said, well, maybe there's some other people you go, oh, no, I've already got Jack and I, who's another friend of hers. We attacked one other gentleman, but she said, but he's Spanish-speaking. So all of his notes are going to be in Spanish. And Stacy looked at her and said, you know, this is before she left. She said, do you think that's going to be a problem? She's like, no, we don't care. Spanish, Greek, Russian, we don't care what language it is, because we know he's the best student. We can kind of glom on to him, and we can do
That's
it
great.
Together.
Good idea.
Getting a partner. That's why I truly believe, and Jeannie, you've been there since the beginning, the ICANN Attitude course is so effective because you're in a group. You're not doing it by yourself.
Right. Yes. And it's valuable. It's so valuable. It's almost like I've memorized some of the lessons already. I know what the next paragraph's going to be, you know. So it's just kind of neat. It's kind of like when you watch a movie enough times, you kind of learn the lines. So it's good. It's really a good class. I highly encourage it. I'll probably take it the rest of my life.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. Because Jeannie, you are that steady buddy for me. I know that as long as we decide to keep doing it, or as long as we still have access to the recordings, I'm a lifer with the ICANN Attitude. Because when I first heard it back in the fall of 2016, I thought, oh my goodness, Marty, where have you been all my life? That was my immediate thought. And then I can start naming names of people that impacted my life during that first 12 weeks so drastically. I thought, I just got to keep plugging in and keep doing this. Repetition is the key. You know, Jeannie, I want to focus. I said I only had one more question, but I want to say something, because you talked about reading fiction. Maybe we should relax or take a vacation or take a holiday from reading the stuff that, as you also said, a lot of them say the same thing, but just in a different fashion. I think it's okay. You know, as my dear friend Sandy Martin says, that, you know, keep weekend food on the weekend. That was the way she was taught as a kid. Because when you look at all five pillars, if we take a break from, let's say, healthy finances, and we're of working age, and if we take a break from contributing to our healthy finances, well, then they're not going to be so healthy.
Yeah. Yep. Great.
So, anyway, yeah, so it's really not a question. It's more of a comment on what you said, that sometimes we have to be engaged. The Japanese culture, again, amazing, amazing world contributor from such a small population and a small geographical area. They really, really are focused on these things when you look at all the different things that they're doing. And we have a lot to learn from it. You look at other cultures who are successful in their own right. I think it really comes down to focus on each one of them. You look at the people that, look at the European countries, for example. When you start a regular job, most of them start with 3.5 to 4 weeks of paid vacation per year. I know in America, it's 2 weeks is the average. And then you work your way up to more. And the hours seem to be getting longer. The community. So there is something to this. And I have a full-time job, if you want to call it that, too. I don't call it a job because it's a business that my brother and I own. We're equal partners. And we do most of our planning and discussion via text on what we're going to be doing the next day, the next week, what our focus is. But we talk about it. We plan it out. We don't even have we keep talking about getting programs so we can put it on paper. But we discuss these things. And then we also build in time off so we're not focusing in on that. And it's been a great thing. We have time for a couple more. Anybody, I don't want this to be the Jeannie Zedon and Vance Rogers show here. Other things you've done. Goal control. Looking at these five pillars, things that you've done, star 6 on your phone line.
Vance, can you hear
go
me
ahead.
Now?
Absolutely.
This is Sandy Rammel in Farmington, and I haven't been on for a while, and I apologize. I love listening to you and seeking your wisdom.
You know, on that note, Sandy, we have been keeping roll, and you will get a demerit for your lack of attendance.
Was a lack of wanting, though. Okay.
I'm just kidding. Anyway, go ahead, Sandy. I'm sorry.
I know you. You're kind of like that sometimes, and I love you for it. My goal for this year is in the area of my body. I have begun to use a very useful weight loss program. And since Christmas, I have lost 5 pounds. That doesn't sound like much, but to me, it's a great goal. And this year, I am planning to, and have started, going to a senior workout center and using this program and working toward having a better body for this next year. Also, my husband and I have joined Postmasters, which helps the mind tremendously, and I recommend it for anyone who has difficulty just getting on the phone and saying hello, or getting up in front of a group and speaking, or just speaking to their friends in a social setting. It's an incredible group of people that help you learn to get over those fears. Also, this year I have become a mentor. And I think that is also going to help us to be part of our society. I love doing that, and I think that's going to be useful in that area. So I suggest to anyone out there that is struggling in any of the areas of the five pillars, choose one and work on it. But like you said a while ago, don't fixate on it. Use it, and then continue to work toward the other areas also. So that's my goal for this year, and I've already started.
So that's your goal, and you're sticking with it.
I'm sticking with it.
You know, Sandy, I would, our culture, and again, I watch ads. I tear ads apart. I'm very analytical. Most of the ads that I saw the last week of December and the first week of January, they all focus in on what one of the words that you just said, and that word was, I've already lost 5 pounds. And Our words control our future. We heard that from Herb Rapp. And I think actually it was on the Nikan prayer call. It wasn't 2 weeks ago when he was on this call. But if that's true, if the ship, a gigantic ship, is literally steered by a tiny rudder, and anybody who knows anything about boats, you understand this principle.
Mm-hmm.
Our tongue is such a small organ and small part of our body, but it controls so much.
Yes. Yeah.
And what I want to encourage you is I was there a few years ago, and when that scale tipped more than almost 50 pounds more than it should have been for me, that's when I realized, okay, wait a second, what is going on? It's not just my body, it's my mind. Because
I fell prey
to the same thing that you just said. Well, I've already lost 5 pounds, and that may not seem much to some people, but that's huge to me. And you know me well enough that you know where I'm going with this, is we have to change our verbiage. I bumped into a gal a few weeks ago, and I said, man, you look fantastic. And she said, yeah, I lost almost 40 pounds. And I said, really? Are you going to go find it?
Good thought.
And she did the exact same thing you just did. And she said, no, uh-uh. And I said, so you really didn't lose it. You donated it, you flushed it, you shed it, you exfoliated it, you pick a word. But our culture, we've got it so messed up. And again, the ads seem to focus in on what you can lose. I'm like, we're programming ourselves for the negative.
Right.
And we don't even realize it. We have to change that. You know, my I can attitude means forming positive habits. I will choose my words carefully, purposefully.
Right.
Pat Gorman, and I love plus one group.
I'll practice
that
very hard this year, man.
Thank you, Sandy. And the one other thing that I love the way you shared is, as I'm listening to you share, you're literally hitting on all five of the pillars, because they're all interconnected. And your commercial for... Yeah, go ahead.
In fact, in our Toastmaster group, I'm going to use the five pillars of health as a basis for one of my speeches, to see if people... What other people think and what they are doing who don't know anything at all about our program, and see what happens.
I would encourage you to look up the word Kaizen, because that's where it all starts. What can I do for myself today in each one of these five pillars that's going to allow me to be a better contribution to society? That's loosely paraphrased is what it means.
Yes.
Very loose. Yeah, and I thank you, Sandy, for being bold enough to share, because this is huge. And I will echo your commercial for Toastmasters. I was part of a Toastmasters group for, oh my goodness, I want to say 2 years in my early 20s, and absolutely life-changing. I mean, you talk about intimidating. I did not enjoy getting up in front of groups, especially groups. My brother and I were part of it, and we were tradesmen at the time, just like we are today, but we were the only one in jeans. Everybody else, the men and the women, they're wearing, you know, not sports suits, but business attire, and they're realtors, and they're bankers, and teach, you know, and here we are, these blue-collar kids in our 20s going, I mean, we didn't even buy the breakfast, because we didn't have the money for that.
Our group is rather blue collar, so we would not intimidate you at all.
I would appreciate that.
When we go to Albuquerque and Denver, then we know we have to wear suits, so it is different. But we do thoroughly enjoy doing this program and being involved with it, and seeing where it goes. Hopefully, help other people also.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But it really. Thank you, Sandy. I really appreciate you sharing. Hey, I think we heard from Pat in, go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I'm in the Paul Gavias Plus One group. And one of the things I'm doing, I'm a 67. I was a little late getting here because I'm celebrating my 67th birthday.
Happy birthday.
I'm a blind person that has a lot of education behind me and a lot of skills, and what I decided to do, the program is just getting started through the National Federation of the Blind. It's a mentor-mentee kind of arrangement where I'm trying to impart the knowledge that I have to the younger generation. And we haven't got the mechanism isn't really rolled out yet, but it's something we're doing on a state-by-state basis.
Mm-hmm.
And my thinking is if I reach out, see, I'm a widower. I lost my wife 3 years ago, and my thinking is if I reach out to somebody, then I get helped. There's a scriptural principle there.
Well, that's exactly what I was just going to say, Pat. Just as Jeannie and Sandy shared, when we're in the mode of being a conduit, a vessel, then we can gain by giving to others. That's what the five pillars is all about. That's what Kaizen is all about, is what can we do to impact other people's lives? Because a lot of times we may think, well, I don't have that. And when I get to 100% in my physical body, then I'll be able to help and mentor somebody else. No, I've never heard of anybody that's part of AA or any group, for that matter, saying, yeah, I've achieved perfection in this area. Now I'm part of a support group and I'm helping others. There's no such thing.
Well, I'm working on the finance part, because as blind people, we're sort of on the economic bottom of the totem pole, if you will, not by choice, but just the way things happen. I've got a ways to go on that angle.
Right, no. I remember when I first met you a few weeks ago on the phone, we were talking about that. But I also, at the same time, Pat, I don't think, because nobody else listening to you right now would have any idea that you're blind.
Well,
nobody.
And that's the way I like it. And that's the way Paul is. That's the way I am. As a matter of fact,
yeah.
I got into NECAN through Paul because 15 years ago, I helped him get his PhD. And he called me on June 10th, which would have been my 25th wedding anniversary. Awful day. My wife had died 3 months before.
Oh,
awful
my goodness.
Day. I'm glad, and he gave me counseling that he could have righteously charged for because he's a clinical psychologist, and he didn't. And I said, "Boy, I've got a friend here. I better take advantage of this opportunity while I got it." He and his wife Mary Ellen are two of the loveliest people you ever want to meet.
Yep, and I would echo that. I would absolutely echo that. And if for those of you who did not get to hear Professor Paul a few weeks ago, SaturdayAMLive.com is the website. You'll see a picture of him. Absolutely. Well, Paul and I actually, a little over a year ago, went to Human Seeing More together, the one-day intensive, and it was life-altering. It was so much fun learning from him, as it would be from you, Pat, learning about how you navigate. We all have handicaps. We're not perfect. None of us are perfect. But the beautiful thing is that we can, if we're honest about it, we don't have to asphyxiate on that handicap, but we can simply say, hey, you know, this is my lot in life. This is the set of cards I've been dealt. This is my hand. I need to figure out how to play them. Most people, unless I bring it up, don't know that Vance Rogers is a burn victim or burn survivor, having burned 14% of my body. And because I don't make a big deal of it. My scars are very visible, but most people don't notice unless I bring it up. Now, my friend Tony Jacobs, who is also a burn survivor, his percentage of his body that was burned is much greater. And I never forget a few years ago when Tony introduced me to another burn victim, burn survivor. He said, David, this is my friend Vance. He's a crispy critter, just like us. He's just not quite as well done. And
I know about burn victims. I'm a ham, been a ham for 42 years. And I've actually was part of a life-saving effort 3 years ago in Honduras where we got about four or five burn victims airlifted to Dallas for treatment. I used my ham equipment to arrange for airlifting of these victims in San Pedro Sula to Dallas for treatment of, I don't know why so many burn victims from that part of the world, but they are, and I was involved in the International Mission Radio Association, and we got them out of there before they got even, because they needed immediate medical treatment.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, Pat, with a little bit of research, you can answer your own question of why are there so many in that part of the world. The state of Oregon, where I live, we have more burn victims because it's a very rural area. A lot of trees grow. When it rains as much as it does here, vegetation happens, so a lot of backyard burning, slash burning, that seems to be the common denominator of people, you know, get burned when they're out working fires. But the thing is, with a little bit of understanding, we can turn that around and help be an answer to somebody else's prayer or somebody else's crises by being proactive. So, you know, these are the little things. And again, we've heard from three different people besides myself, and I want to thank Jeannie and Sandy and Pat for just sharing their own successes and their own journey. Yes.
This is Larry. I know we're almost the end of the hour, but I just want to add one thing about goal setting, if that's okay.
Go ahead, Larry.
Well, you know, I used to write everything down, and at that time I didn't know what's called the five pillars of health, but I pretty well covered those things. And I found out it was really difficult for me. I'm not saying it's the wrong thing to do. I'm just saying it was difficult for me. And what I have kind of done is a hybrid thing. I write down the important things that I know I can't remember, like names, phone numbers, addresses. The rest of the time, my mind is super active most of the time. And what I'll do is I'll catalog it in my mind, and then I'll say, okay, if I've got to do these chores tomorrow to accomplish what I want to do today, I'll lay out something in one spot on my dresser or on the table or on my desk, and I'll just lay it there to remind me that, hey, I got to do that tomorrow. And so right now I've got a pile of them laying here because I got to do some things today with my wife, who is temporarily not with me because of an accident. And if you physically put something in front of you that will remind you to do it the next day, and you're pretty confident of your organizational skills, that works too. You don't always have to write everything down. That's all I wanted to say, Larry.
No, and I appreciate that, Larry, because it's so true. When you put something in front of you, I have a book that was given to me a year ago as a Christmas present, or maybe it was a birthday gift a year and a half ago. I can't remember. But I found it a few weeks ago, and I thought, you know, this is not a hard, tough read. Where can I put this so that I can start reading it rather than putting it in the same proverbial place, because it just won't get it. So I've moved things, as you're saying, to strategic locations so that I will. You know, and for me, one of the big things is don't take the iPad or the computer to bed. Just don't do it. I never take my phone to bed. It always gets charged in the kitchen. But just say no to devices before bedtime. And that's been an easy one for me, because those that stack of books, you know, we can get through them. And that's going to help our mind. And the science and the research is out there, folks. And don't even get me started on why you think it's a good idea to be reading from a screen device or watching something on a device right before you go to bed. That is the absolute worst thing we can do for our mind. Absolute worst. Far better to be reading from a printed page that there's no electronics, no negative EMF. Just, if you don't believe me, just as I say to our daughters all the time, Google it. Research it yourself. Don't take my word for it. Trust Dr. Gary Lindman, okay? And on that note, he's coming up, and there are just a slew of amazing, amazing things that we can learn from people like Dr. Gary Lindman and so many others out there in the world of NECAN. So thank you, Larry. Thank you, Pat, Sandy, Jeannie, for being bold, being willing to jump in there and share some of your own methods on how to really grab the bull by the horn and achieve some of these goals and raise the percentage, raise the number. And again, if you've never done this, if you've never been able to take a human being more course, maybe that should be on your goal for this year. Find out one, listen and pay attention to the calendars, one that's in your area or close by, because some of them are the one-day intensive, some of them are 2 days. And I love the way that we have the program set up. It's $99 to be part of it. And then after you go through the course the next day, you immediately get deposited into your NECAN account 100 NECAN reward dollars to spend on products. So the training is absolutely free when it's all said and done. So can't encourage you enough to do that. And take advantage of it. So that's all I've got for goal control. Hopefully this has been beneficial, and I do appreciate everybody who's contributed.